Hey, this is a hint. Let's think large economy size, because if everyone is the first stop and we set the tone and they come through First Baptist Church of Marionville first, we get to shape that whole evening and make it a memorable event. So, the old joke when I was a kid is still true. They think I'm always wearing my costume and it's pretty scary. So that's going to be a difficult one. I won't have to dress up much, but I can bring candy and it doesn't hurt anything. So appreciate that very, very much. Thank you, everybody, for working with us today. We had a wonderful time of fellowship and breakfast. Steve, you're not alone. I hadn't seen you for 2 weeks and got your cold anyway. So sorry about that. Nate's going to give me a little microphone support, and that'll work really good unless there's a sneeze that comes out of nowhere. And no, it'll be all right. Actually, we've turned the corner. Yeah, he's got the silent button, and he's been tempted to use it up there every Sunday. That's the thing. So today might be a real good day. Want to celebrate a couple things. If you're with us on Wednesday nights, I've had a chance to talk to you about a young lady who her life experience has come right out of the headlines on the news. She, in the Springfield, Branson area, was taken to the hospital at death's door because of vaping. They do not know what is going on in all that stuff. And so this young gal, a brand new mother, was put into a coma, and she was as deep in a coma as they could put her without killing her, basically, and they were down to one potential treatment left. And so the word had gone out that we would be asked to pray, and we didn't use her name with our children on Wednesday nights. We named her granddaughter because the grandpa is my friend. This is different for me. All my friends are grandpas too. How did that happen? So that's a little unique, but we were in Warsaw for our Baptist disaster relief training, working with Grandpa, and he shared with us how close his granddaughter came to giving up her life. And I told him, I said, well, you may not know it, and I don't know that we turned the tide on that, but I know we didn't hurt anything when we had our youth and our children and our adults on Wednesday night pray for granddaughter and just put her in God's hands and God's loving care. And so it was a real encouragement for me to get to tell him face to face that our church, people they don't know, may never meet, we may pass each other at the mall one day or McDonald's or something like that, and that may be this side of heaven, all we'll ever know. But we prayed for that young lady, and she's doing well today. So we rejoice in that. Also want to celebrate with Judy, Caden Adams. She had called one night and said, would you put that out on an Iris message? Caden has been dealing with a lot of seizures. He's got an appointment tomorrow. We really don't know what to do. Caden and his family go over to James River, and they went to that appointment, and it wasn't seizure activity the way they thought, but still didn't have an answer for what was going on. And in between the time of that Iris and today, the church gathered around Caden and prayed over him. And we believe, we understand from his experience and the fact that there have been no seizures since that point, that God has done a mighty, gracious work of healing to raise him up so that he can be, and we heard a little of the rest of the story, a witness and a testimony. And the beautiful part of this is that sometimes our deepest prayers when we're crying out to God in the most life and death issues, we're grateful for God's answers. We're blessed when he answers. But it isn't just about us. It's about what God is going to use Caden's life for, or what God is going to use this granddaughter's life for. Do we need people who have been there and there's been no other answer except for God to give the Lord the glory that he deserves? So we rejoice in that. As any grandparent knows, man, that's a blessing and a relief, but it's also a part of the life calling of our kids. And we don't get to control them. I mean, they just grow up and do their own thing, like God's telling them what to do and not us anymore. Where did that come from? But it's real, isn't it? And it's a good thing because we want them to follow the Lord and we really want them to serve the Lord. So a lot of good things are going on and we're sticking with it. Today the sermon is entitled Nuts and Bolts. And being about tools the way I am, I'm terrible with tools. I'm not allowed to work machinery like a shovel. So I brought a very safe tool as my object lesson today. Smart guys, what's this? A level. Think it works? Yeah. So we all know what a straight line is, right? I mean, we kind of got that figured out. Say the guy was going to build this pulpit right here, and he just said, well, I've got the board, and it's, you know, X amount of height by width by thickness, and I'm going to put it up there, and, you know, that looks good enough for me, and I'll just nail it together this way and let it go, and would it be level? Would it be square? I have not practiced this. You know what? The bubble is between the lines. That's pretty cool. Let's try this one. Somebody worked hard to honor the Lord on this. Would it have come out that way if we just said, well, you know, that looks good. Yeah? So what I've been struggling with in my own world is this has the three bubbles in it, okay? So one is for horizontal, one is for vertical, and this one is for the 45-degree angle, basically. It would go about right there. And so those are the three basic angles that a builder would do. But what I said to myself is, you know what? There ought to be a way for everything to come together and be totally square in multiple dimensions. Of course, this is also what you do when you're desperate for an illustration on Saturday night, is you go, can I get all three bubbles to go the same way? And so, you know, I can get one, and two and three are totally off. It's possible. So, I need a helper. I proved I can do it, but they don't believe me because I'm a preacher. I want all three bubbles in between the lines on there. Can you do that? Can you do that? Well, come on. Let's work on that a little. Come on. Yeah, she's helping over here too. I'm on your side. What's taking you? You know, I got a sermon I got to get done this whole time here.
Every time I get them there, somebody jiggles the thing around.
Really? Oh, imagine that. I wonder how that happened.
See, there they are.
You proved you can do it. So while I've been with you, let's go to my first slide here. Do you know that today is a milestone? This guy's been showing up for 6 months. Isn't that amazing? Now, I know what that means. There was an 18 to 24-month window, and you're going, all right, it's coming. Keep it going, keep it going. No, I still like coming to work, and it's been a great thing. It's been fun to talk about. But while I've been learning about us and how to work together, I've kind of been playing that game with that level, and I've earned the reputation of, you know, Gilmore likes everything organized, and he wants it to be square, and he wants it to go just right, and I do. I also know that we have to do that when everyone is helping us sometimes, that little extra wiggle that gets in there. That doesn't mean we quit. That doesn't mean we stop. It means there's a difference between eyeballing what God wants to do in our midst and being right on the money. And sometimes it's worth, sometimes, and this is the trick, is knowing what time is the time, it's worth the extra effort to make sure that we use the tools that God has given us to make it right. I still relate very much to the fellow who said, you know what, I've sawed that board twice, and it's still too short. I'm there. I relate to that kind of building. And I also know that I add a little bit in the estimate of the cost. I add a little extra because it's going to take me a little longer to get some things done. So, tell you what, we're excited about that. I just wanted to let it be known that we're there. We're going to go to the Bible today, and we're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to start in chapter 10, but let me say a couple things while you're looking for that. There was a time when I was growing up that I don't think I did anything better or I did anything great, but about the time I graduated from high school, I found that God had put some people in my life who were cheerleaders for me. And they were a real blessing to me because when I was trying new skills, when I was trying to do things, they would applaud for me. I remember graduation from high school was a big day because the whole community stopped and they thanked you for working hard and they applauded you. And they realized that you have now reached a stage in your world where some good things can happen because of who you are and what you have made of yourself. And then I got out of high school and people quit applauding. Like my boss was not really thrilled. He didn't greet me at the door with applause when I showed up on time. Well, Grandma loves me. Mom and Dad think this is pretty great, but the boss just kind of expected it. Went to college, and instead of that encouraging, coaching teacher, I went up with my hat in my hand, and I was very apologetic, and I made the equivalent statement, something like, well, the dog ate my homework, even though the dog was hundreds of miles away with Dad and Mom, you know? And the professor said, I don't care. You know, your grade doesn't matter to me. You're going to do it or you're not. Not my problem. And that was at a Baptist school, and I thought, boy, we just have the love of Jesus around here, don't we? The truth is they did have the love of Jesus, and they were growing me up in Jesus. But I didn't like it. And what I've learned as I've gotten older is there was a day when everybody clapped for me. We have a granddaughter learning to walk. Oh, it is so wonderful. I mean, if they take two steps and fall over sideways. Oh, how, yay, way to go. And I really want to say, honey, those are your family genes. That's not mine. That's the other side of the house coming through there. What I learned as life has gone on is that I'm no longer the one getting clapped for. It's my job now to applaud and praise other people. I was so happy when they said unto me, we shall give you a scholarship. What I didn't know is that somebody else opened their wallet and made that scholarship possible. And my role in life now is not to go get the scholarship. My job now is to open my wallet and make that scholarship happen for somebody else. The modern phrase is to pay it forward. And I don't think the lottery was original, and I don't know that they do such a great job with that, but that's my opinion. It's up to us to care about things that matter and create the opportunity for others to thrive. And so Paul came to this place where in his walk with Jesus, he said, you know what? I was a Jewish rabbi and I had all those rules and I had all those regulations and I had all that dietary restriction and I could only talk to certain people and I could only do this and that and the other. But then Jesus knocked me off my horse one day and he totally changed my world. And now I am free in Jesus. I no longer have to live by the Old Testament law because Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. And I no longer have to work my way to heaven. God, by grace, has saved me. And Paul, in his Christian life, was walking around going, everything is wonderful. Everything is permissible. All things, we are free in Jesus. And you read the book of Galatians and he says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Don't go back to being a Jewish Christian bound by the law. You are free in Jesus. And then he shared the gospel with Corinth. Corinth was a metropolis. Corinth had a big temple at the top of the hill where all the ladies lived. They were temple prostitutes. And as the sun went down, the ladies came down the hill and they wanted to help the town celebrate the worship of a pagan god. Kind of hard to be a Christian in Corinth. They had meat that was offered to idols. They had questions about baptism. They went through all this stuff. And Paul came along and he said, you know what? God will free you from that sin. God will make you free in Jesus. It's great. Everything is permissible. And if you lived in Corinth and you heard Paul say, everything is permissible, you kind of were looking toward sundown. You were kind of looking toward the next big, after they offered the sacrifice to the pagan god, well, that was meat for the barbecue. And it didn't matter if another new Christian had come out of pagan worship, you ate the meat, they thought you were worshiping that false god, and you're going, no, I just like barbecue sauce. And Paul is having to write Corinth over and over, and he's saying things like, do you realize that the way you're using your freedom is hurting the babies in the faith? It is one thing to walk around going, I'm free, I'm free. And then your older brother comes along and says, big deal, I'm four. No, we walk around and we go, hey, ladies and gentlemen, hear me real carefully. There's a world of difference between being the recipient of grace and becoming the caretaker of giving grace to others. It's different when you're the little kid who always gets to go first in line and being grandma who not only lines the family up at Thanksgiving dinner, grandma made Thanksgiving dinner for the family to have the experience. So on the screen and in your Bible, I'm going to do a decoy here. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 12. And I want you to compare it to what's on the screen. So I'm using the Christian Standard Version, but it's going to be very similar in anything you look at. In chapter 6, verse 12, Paul says, everything is permissible for me. Now let me read it normally. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. You look at chapter 10, and it says, and you'll note it's in quotes up on the screen, everything is permissible, period. It doesn't say the two little words, for me. That's the difference. But what we're quoting here is like a little parable. You know, this is a little colloquial phrase in the Christian church. It's kind of like one of those things, that phrase, pay it forward. It's now got an identity of its own. There was a thing growing up, if it feels good, do it. You know, it's one of those little phrases out in there. When E.F. Hutton speaks, you know, all of these little things. Well, the world was going, everything is permissible. And if you're free in Jesus, you are free indeed, so everything is permissible. And Paul said, as a selfish consumer Christian, in chapter 6, he says, everything is permissible for me. It's just not always beneficial. Everything is permissible, but I won't let myself be dominated. And in chapter 6, he goes right on to say, food is for the belly and belly for food. How many of you have heard a Baptist deacon at a potluck dinner say, God didn't make it for us to look at? Foods, I know right where to put that barbecue. I do, exactly. I say that stuff. In fact, one of the welcomes I got to Mount Vernon is we had a morning breakfast with the deacons like we had over here. It was one of those fellowship meals. And we said, hey, brother, would you bow your head and pray? And he was way over there, and he bowed his head, and he started praying, oh, Lord, this. And when he said amen, he was over there first in line and picked up a tray and went right down the row. That's the last time I closed my eyes during prayer for a fellowship meal. Because I'm going to try to head him off just a little bit. But I thought that was, well, everything's permissible. I can eat all the food I want. Can you really? I know that we're not to be bound by the Old Testament law, but Paul was trying to teach the Corinthians. He said, I know you have the freedom in Jesus to do this, but it's not beneficial. You're not building up the church. You're only thinking of yourself. And so Paul is saying, you can eat all the food you want, but don't be surprised if you and your doctor have a very serious conversation. How many times have I heard it said, all things are permissible. It's okay if I smoke. Well, if you think it's okay for you to get lung cancer and that is honoring and glorifying to God, then you probably ought to do it. It's okay if I drink. Really? What role model? Let's assume the issue isn't the alcohol. Let's assume the issue isn't any of those things that other people get all wrapped around the sprocket about. What are you telling the world around you? And the difference from chapter 6, it's this same little phrase that the Corinthians were saying, well, everything's permissible. I'm free in Jesus. I'm freed up. You can't tell me how to live. Don't tell me what food to eat. Don't tell me not to go to the temple prostitute. I'm free in Jesus. When I die, this body's going to go away. Doesn't matter how fat I make it. Doesn't matter how I use the sexuality that God gave me. Hey, everything is permissible for me. And Paul said, hey, wait. Your body is the temple of the Lord Jesus. And, excuse me, you're telling me it's okay to take that temple of the Lord Jesus and join that to a harlot dedicated to a pagan god. And the whole book of Corinthians, and I won't do it, we won't have time, there's other things we got to do, but let me just tell you a few things. Eating food, I'm going to eat what I want when I want. And Paul said, be careful, you're going to turn into bondage on that. There's a point where you can't stop eating. Your body gets used to it. I can vape. I'm cool. Yeah, what's happening around there? What are we going to do, Christian friends? Because cannabis is everywhere right now. Oh, it's just medicinal. Oh, it's just this. Well, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it isn't. What are they going to say about you and about the Lord you serve when we deal with end-of-life issues? We have got to be thinking about this. And it's not, well, everything's permissible. You can say it is, and yet, but not everything is beneficial. We've got to go the second mile to be mature people. And this is all that Paul, the whole book of Corinthians, I've never seen Corinthians like I've seen it this week. Paul was saying, oh, you think everything's permissible. Well, I'll tell you what, it is wrong for a man to have his father's wife. And in chapter 5, they had a business meeting for the purpose of kicking out a sinning Christian. He said, what you're doing in having a relationship, probably even married to put a cloak of decency over it, you're in an illicit relationship, and it is so wrong that I'm not even there and I'm calling the business meeting so we can turn that guy over to Satan because the Spirit of God must not live in him. Everything is permissible? No. when you get together to have the Lord's Supper. It would be better that you as a church never even met. Because one person who has no food, that's all he's got for the shared meal. And the rest of you come and you're already drunk on your excess. It'd be better if you never even came to church and called that worship. Don't do it. We talk about food offered to idols. It's at the expense of your weaker brother. Your right to be free has become a stumbling block for those weak in the faith. Paul says, can I have a wife? Peter's got a wife. The issue wasn't about having a wife. The issue was, what example is it setting before the church? And so Paul said to the Jews, I've acted like a Jew so I could win the Jews. To the Gentiles, I acted like the Gentiles so I could relate and win to them. I became all things to all men so that I might win some. You can live a Christian life that is self-centered and mamby-pamby, or you can grow up in Jesus and care about creating the opportunities for others to come to Him. Everything's permissible, but not everything is beneficial or expedient. Not everything takes us toward the goal. The second half, everything is permissible. He's not denying that. He's saying we have freedom to choose what we're going to do and how to do it. But he's saying, but not everything builds up. Not everything edifies the group. No one is to seek his own good, but the good, or literally the word there is wealth, of the other person. C.K. Barrett said, it's not a Christian duty to seek out the things that a man might be permitted to do. It's a Christian's duty to build up the church. Karl Barth said, the freedom of the Christian is the freedom to play his part in the upbuilding of the community. All right, so the good news is, running out of gas up here, we're going to fly through this. Let's go to the next slide, nuts and bolts. So we have a personal journey in our spiritual life where you have a responsibility to be the best Christian you can possibly be. God has placed you in your family. God has placed you in your workspace. God has placed you in our community for you to let your light shine. And the good deeds that you do and the character that you bring to your workplace and to your community is a living witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I have grown to love you people and the witness that you have individually with such uniqueness and specialness. I love walking around and shaking hands and seeing how God is using each and every one of you in a special and different way. It's a multiplier. I can't do all that stuff. This is great. You are the church in Marionville. We also have a together journey under the Lordship of Christ and in obedience to what this book says. Jesus is the Lord and He brings us the kingdom of God. He's given us personal giftedness to be used in obedience to Christ. But here's where it gets hard. It's that third bullet. It's the church. It's where God has put this uniquely gifted, individualized group of people together in a bigger body. And it is up to us to take what I can do to make it better. Now, some of us feel that our job is to help Trevor know when to use a fork and when not to. And I'm glad the children were there for Trevor today. That was good. He came out with a fork sticking out of his shirt pocket, and I go, man, you totally kind of missed the bacon at breakfast. What? I don't know what you're thinking here. We're not going to eat the candy with a fork. But that was a good illustration, wasn't it? That was a good reminder for us. And so sometimes in the body, we look at each other and we go, hey, God made you a fork. Let's not try to put you where you need to be, a straw. Let's use the giftedness of the body in the way that it needs to be. Excuse me. So that bottom line there is we create programs, activities, and events to accomplish the shared ministry of the church. Let's go to the next slide. You've heard me say this. I use the acronym Time, Talent, and Treasure. We have that responsibility in our personal life and in our corporate life. If you are so busy serving Jesus in your own personal Google Calendar that you don't have time to mesh what the church's Google Calendar says, it's going to be tough to work together. That isn't really our problem. You know what our problem is in Marionville? Is we can't find the Google Calendars. The world has changed around us a little bit, and we're not sure how we hook all of that stuff together. The thing about it is, no one is asking everybody to do everything, but we are asking everybody to do something. To make a contribution in the area that God has gifted us to make it better. And it is that exciting thing of combining our gifts and our abilities and our opportunities and our resources to make it work. I appreciated our prayer this morning for the offering. This is a giving moment. We put tangible stuff in the offering plate as a gift unto God. And every time I do that with my envelope or my electronic button that I use these days, it's a letting go of it for a different purpose. I no longer manage the money that I've given to the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord manages the money that's been given to God through this method. Our church calendar is not an extension of Gary's calendar. Our church calendar is where we come together in these large group activities to accomplish what no one of us could do on our own. Everything is permissible. Here's what's exciting. Every calendar, be it on paper or be it on the computer, starts out blank. And in faith, we believe God is going to give us a certain amount of time. We can fill in that time in a way that honors God. But once we make a commitment to that, it's important that we keep that. So, long story short, our stewardship is living all of our life for the glory of God. And the nuts and bolts of where I'm trying to go is to get all the bubbles to balance in a way that builds a beautiful offering unto the Lord. And it's not easy because everybody is doing everything all at once. And every now and then we say, you know what? Christmas is where we celebrate the coming of the Messiah. Can we all make some space for Christmas to honor the Lord in the house at Christmas and Easter and whatever? And folks come and they say, hey, I need to be with my family. Yes, you do. Your grandpa, your grandma, you're that funny uncle. I don't know. You need to be there. It matters. There are people in your life you need to clap for. And sometimes you don't need to be here. In fact, sometimes in the old days, folks would let their families go so they could be here at church. I don't know that that was the best way to go at it. Because where are our kids today? It scares me. My point is, it's not easy, but it's the greatest challenge of our life to be the church in Marionville, Missouri, in 2019 and 20 and 21 and beyond. Let's go to the next slide. This is a little preview of where we're going. We're going to knock our way through this. We're going to have some messages on those scriptural tasks. And they come right out of, believe it or not, that's part of the transitional thing that we need to get in touch with again during this time of change. Worship, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, and ministry. And what we desire out of that to happen is coming out of the New Testament when Peter preached a sermon, 3,000 souls got saved. Well, we need a little more faith, or we need to build a bigger building, or we need our bunch of decision cards ready. Because sometimes we come to church and we go, is he done? Let's sing that last song and go home. Rather than going, Lord, who can I pray for during this invitation? Where's the Spirit of God at work? Remember experiencing God? He's at work around us all the time. You know what I'm excited to see? As I take roll, I log it into the computer on Mondays and Thursdays. I'm seeing people that we hadn't seen in a while been showing up. They've been coming to church. And then one or two, a little here and a little there, they're coming to Sunday school. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing, how? By the Word of God. Some of these activities, the bus routes, we're rearranging a few things. We're making adaptations. We're learning on the fly. We're learning by doing. You know, we're 6 months into this and we've kind of finished first quarter. We still got over half a game left to go, but we're making adjustments. We're learning as we go. We're doing calling audibles on the field. We're having the excitement of the game. We pray that we'd be more like Christ. We pray that we'll see more people reach for Christ. We pray that we'll be able to do bigger, better, larger things in the name of Christ. And we pray that Christ's heart would be seen in our heart as we minister to the world. But the challenge is putting it all together. And frankly, ladies and gentlemen, we have to reset the church right now to get us through the next year. And if we don't get on that task right now, Christmas is on us, Thanksgiving is on us, blah, 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 boom. Here's Happy New Year, and we're not ready. So let's go to the next slide, if we could. Our church is a good Southern Baptist church. And what I mean by that is we have learned as Southern Baptists over time that we're more effective in the long haul by doing what we call programs. Sunday school is a program. WMU is a program. They're ongoing things and they each have a purpose. And when a church has enough of these things going, we figured out that if you put all the commands of the Bible on the table and the Sunday school does this and discipleship training does this and brotherhood missions does this and our RAs and GAs does that, we pretty well have a good grasp on what God asks us to do. But in our culture today, and you go to other churches and they're flying by events. Well, we know it's Mother's Day, and so we're going to make a push for all the mothers. And we know it's Veterans Day, and we're going to have an event for veterans. And we're going to do a variety of events. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but at some point, you're just juggling everything, everywhere, all the time. And that's the beauty of it. And the challenge of it is the church coming together to say, what is our ongoing method of activity? So getting to know you in the last 6 months and being blessed with a new computer program the week I came, thank you all very much, I had to figure out how to put this and that together. And I've been tracking what our church does. I have 3 pages of individualized programs that each was given a little cubbyhole in the computer to try to track what all's going on around here. And notice the word try. What's exciting about this is look at all the stuff going on. Praise the Lord. What's challenging about this is trying to do it all every week. I'm tired. I'm wore out, sort of. I'm looking forward to my nap. That's the true confession. Okay, I will get my nap. When I was a kid, I didn't like naps, but they're all right. They're all right. So long story short, we have reached a time where I kind of know where we are, and we're kind of on glide path through Christmas. So this is just family stuff. I'm kind of glad it's a rainy day. We didn't have pack-a-pew emphasis today. This is family talk right now. We've got the first stop event. This church touches the Marionville community like no other church in town. Amen. Let's do that. We all got to work together. We all got to move a little. We got to make some space. But we're not applauding for ourselves now. We're bringing the whole town in here and going, has God got a plan for you? We want you to have a good time while you're here because we've got ongoing things on Wednesday night. We've got Bible school on Sunday morning. And after first stop, it's already November. And in November, We have a deacon-led Thanksgiving meal. We do a lot of eating around here. Meat is for the belly and the belly for meat, but we're going to make it profitable, expedient. We're not just coming to feed ourselves. We want our community to meet the bread of life. So even now, we need to be talking about, come to God's house with me on November 17th and be thankful with me for the blessings of God in our life. You got over a month to invite somebody to be our guest. Okay? And the minute Thanksgiving is done, have you looked at the calendar this year? The retailers are going crazy. Oh no, we're short one weekend that we normally have between Thanksgiving and Christmas Day. So we all got to go shopping really, really fast. Well, in the middle of all that at First Baptist Church Mount Vernon, we've said, let's add a children's musical. And so we want to take the kids coming on Wednesday and on Sunday morning, and we want to say, you know what? We're going to turn this place into something really different, and we're going to celebrate the colors of Christmas that tell the good news of a Savior who came for us. And if we don't, here's where Gilmore's sweating bullets. Our budget goes through the end of December, and that's three events away in our world. Our nominating committee should have already had a slate of officers, and I told them, don't worry about it because we're doing so much other stuff, but we need to reset the team. Who's playing quarterback? Who's playing tight end? Who's playing safety? Because if we get out there and we don't have a game plan, what good will it do to bring everybody in? If we don't have a way that says, we're glad you're here, here's what our church has to offer. Would you join me in this class where we can study the Word of God together? You know, you may not realize it, but we have been praying for you every Wednesday night for 6 months that you would come and come to know Jesus the way we did. Everything is permissible. God doesn't care if we do a Halloween thing. God doesn't care if we do a Veterans Day thing. God doesn't care if we do whatever. He cares that we make it profitable. He cares. It may be permissible, but it may not be expedient. Let's make it worthwhile. Let's make it count. And so we got to reset the financial plan. And we've got to reset the calendar. Otherwise, it's just going to go like this. So Gilmore, Mr. Organized, who you do get to laugh at, he made some fancy forms. And all I ask on these forms, number one, is why are we going to do this? How does this event connect to the mission of our church? I know it's permissible. We're not here to shoot it down. We're here to say, how do we make it work? Why are we doing it? Is it going to reach children? Is it going to reach senior adults? Is it going to reach who? And we need some that are just for us to keep the family strong. We need some that aren't about us at all. So I'm asking everybody who has a ministry to help Gary out. I know you know what you're doing, but I don't know what you're doing or why. Because I want to bring all that together under the umbrella of the church to say, we still have transition business to get done and I really can't get to it till January. But in January, I don't want to go, oh my goodness, now we got a blank calendar. What are we going to do? If we'll do just a little bit in the month of October, we can map out the time, the talent, the treasure, the everything. Go to the next slide and you'll get the point here because I'm real slow. Go to the next. Yeah, there it is. Go to the next slide. Find my math. Yeah, this is Gilmore's incredible math. You are going to be so blessed with this. 1 equals 1 equals 1. What is equal to 1? Great. And then I said, you know what? I had algebra back in the day, and I liked Einstein. E equals mc squared. Let's work this through. You do what's in the parentheses first. What's 1 squared? Times 1 is? Okay, go to the next slide. Y'all going, he is really not feeling good today. Here's the deal. If we say we're going to make ham sandwiches for the law enforcement people, that, if explained well, can be a ministry. And if we're going to adopt it as the ministry of our church, we need to make space for it, because it's not only permissible, it needs to be profitable, expedient, get something for it. So it belongs on our church calendar. We're all going to make some time to make ham sandwiches, to deliver ham sandwiches, to follow up about ham sandwiches, and then we're going to pat ourselves on the back and we say, I know our ladies make great ham sandwiches. So that's one should equal one. The next thing is, we need to budget for ham sandwiches. Time, talent, treasure. We should budget for it. And then we say, you know what? All of our people that are going to make that happen, we need to line them up and we need to ask them for their time and their talent and their treasure to have more than our individual ministries. We need it to come together so that the ham sandwich ministry accomplishes the will of God. And I don't care what we do. I care that we know what we're doing. And I care that we put, if we say this is the ministry of First Baptist Church Marionville, whatever it is, I believe God will honor it if we will honor Him in the planning, the preparation, the execution, and the follow-up. We cannot let Marionville slip away from the love of God by being too busy all by ourselves or being haphazard in what God has called us to do together. In 6 months, the one thing I've not said is no. I've asked why. I've asked how are we going to pull that off. I've said, well, I've never heard of that before. But I've not said no. And I really don't want to go around saying no. But I will not let us take God's money for something that is not God's plan and purpose, that the church has had a chance to look at together and say, yes, we together, the authority of the congregation says, we are behind this. Someday somebody's going to come up and say, well, we don't want ham sandwiches, we want something else. And I'm going to go, well, you know what? Our calendar's full and our budget is pre-committed and this and that and there is done. To make it work, we're asking you to join the movement of the church under the authority of Christ. All things are permissible, but we've taken seriously the responsibility to make them count. And that's a good thing. And if God wants you to go do that, I'm not going to tell you not to go do that. But our time, our talent, our treasure, it's already pre-committed to the Lord. That doesn't mean we can't change it. It just means we're not going to get up like Gomer Pyle today and go, golly, what does God want to do around here? If we ask Him, He'll tell us. And if we'll be obedient, we can plan. And if we plan, we are more purposeful and we do a better job with the things that God has gave us. That's all I'm asking. And so I'm asking you to fill out a form and I'm asking you to fill out a thing that says, how much does that cost? How much time does that take? And y'all gave me the computer program and it's all organized. And I go, we can take what you're doing and we can plug that in right here. And here's our time, our talent, our treasure, our people, our stuff, our management to work together. Oh God, what would you do if we got excited about being the church? Everything's permissible, but it doesn't always work the way we want. Make it expedient. Everything is permissible. Well, we're not to look out for ourselves only. I don't come here to do what Gary does. My job here is to make us rich. Pray with me. We just got to quit. Lord, it's tough to work together. All things are permissible, and you've shown us freedom, and we get visions and good things in our mind, and they are. They're good things. They come from you. They're heaven sent. But it's in the execution. It's in the planning. It's in the making it all come together in a way that edifies the whole body. Well, Lord, that's kind of a different level sometimes. And we want to be faithful in that effort and opportunity. It's my prayer in the next few weeks that we would just have a few moments to sit down and think about those things that we do to serve you and to write out, Lord, what are you doing with that? What would your heart be if there was to be a new flavor added to what we're doing in Marionville? Lord, what would that be? And I want to work with our committees. I want to work with our councils. I want to work with our deacons and our leaders to say, here it is. This is what we sense is the activity of God among us. And Lord, we want to join you there. Give us that vision. And we know you'll give us the tools and the supplies and the people, because we want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for these moments we've shared this morning as a church family. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And say that by the 27th, the next slide. Yeah, by October 27th, in 3 weeks, I'd love to have all those back. What are we doing? What are we thinking? What does it look like now? And then I have the first part of November where I have to be away, but that's a retreat where I could take all those things and I could say, wow, this is how things are dovetailing. And I want to come back. And then around the last half of the month, we have the opportunity to put that out in front of the entire church. And then ahead of Christmas, the dream would be that the budget, the calendar, and the nominating committee slate of supporters and workers would all be together. We would all kind of have a direction to go forward with. And we get that done like the first Sunday of December, and then we kick back and we celebrate Jesus coming in the manger, and we be with our families. Come January 1, we are good to go. So there's a little method behind the madness. Y'all are looking at me like, you know, we had a preacher who did this one time before, and he's not here no more. I see, I know I'm taking a little risk here. Actually, what I'm doing, ladies and gentlemen, is I'm dreaming big. Because while we do transitional things, really hitting that hard in January, I'm willing to wait. But we got to get to what you brought me here for. But if we have the baseline already set and going, we are in a good, good spot. Okay? Thank you. Thank you. All right, Trevor, close us out. It's time to pray and celebrate one another today.
Yeah, why don't we join hands across the aisles here today? God, we want to thank you so much for your word today. Lord, and I pray that you would just inspire our hearts, challenge us with one way that we can really look out for the interests of others this week. Lord, it's so easy to just stay in our own lane with horse blinders on our eyes and stuck to our own lane. But I pray that you would just make us aware of the needs of those around us and show us how we can come together as a church and build each other up, Lord, and plan to do things well, to glorify you. And I pray that you'd give us one way to love our brother this week, to invite our neighbor to the Thanksgiving dinner or just here to church. God, and we pray that we would beat with your heartbeat for people because you love people incredibly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.